Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
Are we seeing some growth in downtown? No. But we want to. And so I'll celebrate every little thing. I just wish the city would just be better at the basics. Oh, Tony, you don't live here. You don't get the say. Oh, no, you're totally right. I don't get a say at all. And look who you voted for a third term. So you're right. I should just say nothing. As I said, you've made your decisions. But I still notice. I want what's best for you, even if you don't. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Sushi Boss is coming to Monument Circle in Meridian. That's where Aubon Pond used to be. And then Green District. Green District did not last long. Green District did not last long at all. But Sushi Boss is going in. So Sushi Boss has two locations. They've got one near IUPUI, which I don't even know what we call that now. And they've got one on 86th. So they have done with sushi, they basically Chipotle'd sushi. And honestly, I think they do a good job with it. For quick, for easy, for price points, for everything. One of the very, very few restaurant concepts where I'm like, yeah, I would totally be a part of that. Like, I think it works. And I utilize it, family utilizes it, the whole thing. So they're 10 years now, IEPUI. They've been 5 years up there on 86th Street, and they're going to go in right there on the corner. I hope they do great. I hope they do great, and you can call me. I don't mind. I'm happy to have that conversation. So while that is going on, I move you to Carmel. Well, actually, I should keep it downtown because just as this happening, this idea that the mall is suing Sugar Factory. When Sugar Factory came downtown, it was a big deal. Celebrity this. It's going to be so exciting. It's candy. Candy, I tell you. They're getting sued by the Circle Center Mall for failure to pay rent. According to the letter that was sent to Sugar Factory back in January, they owe $333,779 in back rent. That's a fair amount of loot. Or as they say in Carmel, a rounding error. Because in Carmel, Indiana, the Carmichael, which was $20 million over budget, no one cared, seems to be doing so well that they're considering expanding. It has had better attendance than they thought, what do you call it? Occupancy, better occupancy than they thought. I hear that the restaurant, I haven't had a chance to go yet. The French restaurant is exceptional. I want it to be successful. You built it. I want it to be successful. I just figured if you needed a five-star hotel, you would have had someone build a five-star hotel. If it's working, wonderful. Still don't think it's the place for a city to build. Just like I don't think it downtown. Hope you get lucky. They have gotten lucky. But now they want to engage expansion. Of course. Of course they do. Crazy. Then they actually let loose some of the numbers on the hotel. So they're very, very pleased with the occupancy rate. They think that this is right where they need to be, that everything else is working. And they want to build onto it. Okay. Go ahead. What am I supposed to tell you? It's not like you would listen to me anyway. Can't it just be good the way it is? Can't we have other thoughts about what we grow and what we build? Nope. No. Okay. Okay. Guys, do your thing. Do your thing. I just hope the numbers continue to stay up. But I do hear wonderful things about the rest. Vivante, that's it. You got the jazz club in there. Feinstein's, right? Michael Feinstein, the songbook. But Vivante, I hear nothing but wonderful things about. That much is true. can't just let it grow naturally. Nope. Look, I like thinking big, but just, you know, take a breath. It's all. Nothing wrong with that. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Somebody is selling a $20 bill for $110. Used like new, buy so I can get out of the hood. It's there. It is right there. As clear as day. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. What's interesting is that it is a star note. If you've never looked at your currency, right? If you take a look at a bill, any bill, it's got a serial number on it, right? And since I'm the only person who still carries cash in America, I'm looking at what I've got. And if you take a look at the serial number, sometimes at the end you'll see a star. I'm seeing if I have any, because you may have never noticed it. A star denotes that something happened in the printing of that run of bills. And so therefore they had to rerun it or make a change. And so the star denotes that there was this issue. A star note actually has more value. There are websites that are dedicated to letting you know what your star note is worth. I do not have any. I was checking. You see the problem, Matt Bears, it's just so much cash. Just so much. I don't mean to brag or nothing. But that's a lot of ones to count through. It's radio, people. If it was TV, it'd be at least fives. So this guy is selling a $20 bill for $110 that, for all I know, could be worth $110. So That's what we've got. I'm trying to find the value of it right now. People are funny as can be. Absolutely love it. Jerry Seinfeld is saying that movies are over. Finito. Done. I'm not sure why he decided to make the statement, but he is making a very interesting argument. And the argument is that movies used to command a place in American culture. And that's over. You are no longer in a place where movies command this respect. They don't have a place in our hearts anymore. They don't have a place in our souls anymore. And he directed this film for Netflix about Pop-Tarts. The fictional account of the creation of Pop-Tarts. That's what he's doing with his time. It's like, did you ever see the Weird Al movie starring Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al? It's a totally ridiculous, fictionalized, nonsense account of how Weird Al became Weird Al, and Weird Al is in it. But it is excellent. It's really campy good. Not can't be, but campy. Campy and good. So I don't know what made him say this. He said, film doesn't occupy the pinnacle in the social cultural hierarchy that it did for most of our lives. When a movie came out, if it was good, we all went to see it. We all discussed it. We quoted lines and scenes we liked. Now we're walking through a fire hose of water just trying to see. So when asked what has replaced film, he says depression or malaise. I would say confusion. Disorientation replaced the movie business. Everyone I know in show business, every day is going, what's going on? How do you do this? What are we supposed to do now? It's interesting. A recognition that the industry is changing and faltering. Because they're competing with so much content in so many places. But I would argue that there is absolutely positively room. There is absolutely room for content. People still want to see a cool story. People still want to watch a great spectacle. They still want to hear a great tale. That has not changed. One can argue that what has changed is what we accept as great. If you spend your day watching videos of people involved in these absolutely dumb dances that are not dances and think, oh, they're talented. Well, that's the diminishment of content there is a great example. A great example. So he's bringing up an interesting subject, but he certainly should not be advocating for, and I didn't take that he was, just a little bit of forward think. He should not be advocating somehow the idea that it's over and nobody's interested in content. No, people are still absolutely interested in content. 1,000% interested in content. Without question, interested in content. It just has to be, you know, compelling, interesting, funny. Those rules haven't changed. Now, the money rules, oh, that may have changed. But the rules of engagement, not so much.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures down just 6. NASDAQ futures up 129. And the weird story of the day, Boeing says they had a better quarter than people thought. The loss wasn't as great. They didn't spend as much money. Certainly, they weren't spending it on safety. Too soon? No. Yes, I'm sorry. Boeing's a fine company, and everything's going just great. Everything's perfect at Boeing, and there is nothing else for us to talk about at all.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.
There it is. There it is. People are like, wait, what is Tony talking about Boeing for?
What happened?
Nothing. Nothing. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry. It was nothing at all. You have the door panel that blew out. You've had a series of issues with Boeing. But people have been very clear. The Boeing issue is not specifically Boeing. It is the companies around it. It is how these planes have been dealt with by the airlines. And every now and then you'll get somebody just squawking. No, these have been people who clearly have an understanding of the world of aviation. Like, there's the story is deeper. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt here. But there's clearly a problem with the 737 MAX. There's clearly something that was done wrong here. I haven't been able to shake that at all. There's clearly an issue with the 737 MAX. I realized that I have not shared much audio today. And I loved when Chuck Schumer got angry because the protesters are now in front of his home. Because you're allowing this terrible attack on Gaza. Hamas murdered 1,200 Israelis and has hostages. We don't care about that. They deserved it. Literally, there was a guy who went to Colombia and asked students if the hostages should be released. And they were like, nah. No, not at all. And so he was dressed as Moses. And so he put the plagues on them like you get hail. And he's like tossing salt into the air. And it was weird and horrific that there are people who are like, no, keep hostages. It's good. Keep hostages. It's really, really good. And you're like, who in the world would ever talk like this? And then you realize that the president of Colombia a few years ago discussed the fact that you know, terrorism is nothing more than a form of protesting.
So it's not, you'll always have individuals who will have extreme views. But what's really troubling in the region is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists. Not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front.
See, terrorism is just about protest. She's the president of Colombia. She got hired because of exactly that. And people who sent their kids to Colombia didn't know. The students didn't. Of course they knew. They just didn't want to know. Meanwhile, they're protesting in front of Senator Schumer's house, and he doesn't want to talk about it.
Hands. A significant number of Republicans in Indiana, certainly, and elsewhere, agree with President Trump's claim that the 2020 election was stolen. Raise your hand if you agree that the election was stolen.
That question cannot be answered yes or no.
That is
not a yes or no question.
That's funny because I asked it as a yes or no question.
That's the moderator of the GOP debate last night, John Schwantes, failing so epically. The Indiana Debate Commission should put out an apology to the five candidates who were on the stage. Senator Mike Braun couldn't make the debate. He had a vote in the Senate. And to the people, to Hoosiers, who watched it. An apology should come from Schwantes personally and from the Indiana Debate Commission for failing to do the job. You made yourself the story. You did not make it about the questions that Hoosiers actually want answers to. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Great to be with you. And I know some people who are on the Indiana Debate Commission. You should be embarrassed. You should say this was a failing because it was. As clear as day, this was failure. I don't know John Schwantes personally. He might be a very nice guy, personally. But in this debate, he was argumentative. He injected himself. He was like, look at my personality. He thought himself above it all. I mean, this exchange.
Well, it involves facts that we
yes,
don't do
possess. Yes, let me reframe it, Counselor. Counselor, is Joe Biden the duly elected president of the United States?
Yes.
All right. Anybody disagree? Very good.
Wait, I just want to make a statement because I just think that's an unfair question. Let's just be very clear. What happened in the 2020 election that everybody should agree on is that it wasn't properly adjudicated. So they should have spent more time investigating that election, and it wasn't it was not investigated.
Next question.
So that's an unfair question.
Jamie Rittenour answered it for you. She's like, no, I don't think you're asking a proper question, and here's why. And you want to move on? You brought this up. Now you're angry that you're getting anything else other than the gotcha, which that was. It was a gotcha for no reason whatsoever, except a disdain that clearly Mr. Schwantes has for the candidates.
I think we know where you come down. Listen. Raise your. All right.
Anomalies in that election. I went to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning with President Trump winning, and woke up in the morning and he was losing. There are anomalies that we can't understand. We don't know about, so we cannot answer.
I'll just say
for
a question that's impossible to answer, you just answered it. So next try again. Raise your hand. Well, you did. Raise your hand if you will recognize the results of the November election for president, regardless of the outcome.
He didn't answer. That was Curtis Hill answering. He didn't answer yes or no. He explained it. It was a yes or no question, to which Curtis Hill rightfully said it's not a yes or no answer. But the whole question was meant to do this. Why would the Republicans allow it? Because it's the Indiana Debate Commission? Not worth their salt if this is how they act. Not worth listening to. I know people, I'm staring at the commission board. You should apologize. I know some of these people. Apologize for the absolutely terrible, terrible presentation. The lack of understanding of the rules by the candidates. And for a debate moderator who made himself the subject. I said earlier, I should be the moderator of the debate for governor, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian. I will clearly do a better job. I will do the best job in the state of Indiana, period. Because I won't make myself the subject of the debate. I'll ask the questions and I'll keep the trains running on time, which is a terrible, terrible turn of phrase, because then people go Mussolini and you're like, that's not what I meant. But yet there it is. He ruined it for everybody. He really did, especially the Italians, but everybody else. Keep the thing going. Make sure you engage a proper level of pushback when there's obfuscation to an answer, not guide an answer. And don't get into the questioning that is clearly meant to engage a level of partisan insanity. I am sure there is somebody from his public radio world, John Schwantes, who's like, oh, you really got him. Shame on the Republican Party for allowing this. I want to know where your voice is going to be when the general comes. Because you can't have this. You can't. And John Schwantes, and when I say he should apologize, the guy should apologize. It was terrible. It was awful. And there was no way in terms of actual conversation to figure out, quote unquote, who won. I would say that your winners, just based on the pushback on Schwantes, are Curtis Hill and Jamie Rittenour. They did the best job of pushback. They were at least willing to push back. You cannot get Suzanne Crouch off a talking point. You can't do it. It can't be done. But she's still getting the endorsements, which is pretty incredible. Brad Chambers at least wants to fight. He wants to say, I'm different than Mike Braun. I'm different than Eric Doden. He wants it. He would have been served a little bit better if Braun was on the stage. But I think he could have worked better to separate himself with Braun off the stage, and I don't think he got that done. And as for Eric Doden, a very, very nice man. Again, calm, rational, reasoned, but I don't think it inspires. It's a very strange field. Very strange field of running for governor on the Republican side. Nobody is really breaking out. But just for pushback, Ritenour and Hill last night. Clearly. But the Indiana Debate Commission should start apologizing right now. Despicable stuff.